Welcome to the Klamath Tribes podcast. Today we're talking to an elder who has contributed a great deal to the Klamath Tribes working for them. His name is John Galbraith. He had a wonderful party for him and his wife about a month ago, and that was celebrating his long-term commitment to the tribe and his work here. He's now a retired man. How does it feel?
Well, it feels good. Every day is Saturday or Friday. You forget what day it is, but other than that, it's all right.
Well, let's backtrack to when it all started, your work with the tribes.
I started for the tribes in 2000. I built fence for 4 years. Then that ended. That was on a 950-hour basis deal. And we'd work till the fall. And we could draw unemployment during the winter and go back to work in the spring. That lasted for 4 years. And then the job ended in 2004. So then I went to work for the casino for about a year off and on doing different things. And that ended. And I think I came to work driving in 2006.
Driving for the quail trail?
No, for first I started out driving appointments to doctors and stuff like that. And that didn't last very long, maybe 4 or 5 months. And then a bus driving job came open, so I put an application in for that, and I got it. And I believe that was in 2006, I think, same time. And as the time went on, they changed the my job. They changed the, what do you call it, there's a name for it. And anyway, I had to get a GED just to push a, damn near, just like saying to push a broom. And if I wanted to keep my job, I had to get a GED. So I went and I got my GED, and that was in 2009 I got my GED, but I'd been working 2 years before that, or three, just doing hospital calls and stuff like that. And then 2009, I became full-time, part-time, and driving every to town and back 15 years on the highway between Klamath Falls and Chiloquin.
Let's not forget that this was a husband and wife retirement that they celebrated, and your wife...
she'd been there, I think her retirement was 36 years, or 35.
What was her first name again?
Jackie.
Jackie, right. Jackie. So that's a long time for a couple to be working for the tribes. Might be a record.
35 and 25 is 60 years. I mean, to see, she was 35 or 6, and I was 24. So, yeah, that's a long time. I mean, you add them together, you know.
I mean, she is sitting outside. We could bring her in, but we've decided.
No. Yeah, she. I was trying to think of what her main job was. I was talking to Pat out there, and she was a purchasing agent. That's what she was.
What's the secret to a healthy marriage while you're working together?
I never seen her. we had different jobs. I just see her in the hallways and in passing, and that's about all. But yeah, we were in the same building, but. That's where our boss was, in that same building where my wife was at. And I'd be walking down the hallway to go to the office, and I'd see her. And we'd have lunch together and stuff like that. But we wasn't around one another very much, you know, during but we worked in the same building. Yeah.
Well, in those years that you worked for the tribes, you saw her a lot as well as to what the tribe has gone through from over the years. What's your take on your observations of the tribe's development while you're working?
They've done quite a bit. I mean, you just hear talk. I mean, you know, I'm not into politics, but you hear a lot of talk on the bus about what's going on. And according to everybody, I mean, they're making good progress. I mean, they're doing a lot of things, you know. It's a lot to do with this water deal, I guess. I don't know. I don't pay attention to politics, but they're doing a lot of things. And you hear other people talk about it, and they say they're all doing some pretty good things too, you know. I mean, because anybody can ride the bus. It's just not for tribal members. It was open to anybody, public and all that. I mean, you know, anybody was, it was a free ride.
That's not an easy trip to be a bus driver on. It's a challenging highway, Highway 97, and you got to keep your focus and attention. Was that the biggest challenge for you as a bus driver? Sometimes people may overlook the task and the effort that it takes.
The biggest problem driving between Klamath Falls and Chiloquin on 97, it's all stress. Highway, traffic, and people. That's it, you know. In the wintertime, it's real bad. And that's one of the worst roads in the country in 97. It always has been. I mean, but ever since they put them guardrails up, it's kind of changed. I've seen that. You know, I've seen that difference. And I don't know how many years they've had them guardrails up, but things kind of seem to slow down. But still, you got goofy drivers. I mean, that you just have to watch. And me and Pat, we've been lucky. I mean, got a knock on wood. We came out. I came out. She's still driving, but I came out of it without an accident. A lot of close calls. But
when you drive a bus, you do meet a lot of people. Do you create a lot of friendships on those bus rides?
No, not really. They're all mad at me. Everybody's going to write me up. I said, go ahead. You'll be doing me a favor. But I told them I get paid to drive, not to talk. So, uh-huh. I mean, I wasn't very, you know. And that bus is big. It holds 25 people. And they're sitting way in the back and they want to talk. Well, you can't hear them because of the road noise and all this and that. So, you know, you can't tell them to be quiet. I mean, you got to just kind of take it in one ear. But you got to pay attention, I mean, because I pulled out of the casino one time taking a left to go to town. And out of nowhere, here come a car carrier just about ran over me. I mean, they drive crazy on that son of a gun.
Yeah, it's true. I know. Yeah. I commuted every day, too, from Klamath Falls.
It's crazy, you know.
So now in retirement, might you say your age?
I'm 78. 79.
Going strong?
Yeah, still going strong, yeah.
What are you looking to do in your retirement?
Oh, I got some horses I play with, and I rope, and I kind of train my own horses, and that keeps me going.
Speaking of which, you were in the rodeo, right, at one time?
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about that. I always like to reach out to people who have been in the rodeo. To me, it's the most dangerous sport in the world.
Well, it is, I mean, but I started when I was young, I mean, and I did it mainly just, I had a job. I just did it mainly on weekends. I tried to pick my jobs to where I could have a lot of time. I really like 410s because that's a good time to rodeo. You got 3 days to go and get back, and went all over the West Coast. But before I got the job, I mean, I'm from Montana, and I've been from Canada to Arizona rodeoing. Been in every state west of the Mississippi rodeoing. And I mean, I did it for... Last year I jumped was here in Klamath, I mean in Chiloquin in 92. That's been 30 years ago though, 32 years ago was last time a steer I jumped. And I just called it quits after that because I broke my ankle.
I've never met a rodeo guy that didn't break something.
Right, it's hard on your body, I mean. It really is, and I'm paying for it. I mean, if I'd have known what I know now, I'd have wore braces all the time on my legs. I'd have done something different to my knees. I mean, because they're bone on bone, and I've had broke ribs, I've had busted shoulders, and cracked my collarbone, broken jaw. That's about it, I guess. Broken ankle, yeah.
I think that was enough.
Well, yeah, but it's not very much for all the time I'd been doing it, you know what I mean? And I shot horses, too. I mean, I've done about everything. I left Montana in 67, and I came south. When I left Montana, I was making $5 a day. $5 a day. best job I got when I was on the road right here in Chiloquin at the old sawmill pulling green chain. I was getting 325. I left Montana in 1966 or 67, came to Oregon and never been out of a job, never. I've done a lot of different jobs.
You are a Klamath tribe member, right?
Nope.
Oh, you're not a Klamath tribe.
I'm a Blackfoot. Blackfeet Nation tribe from Montana, Browning, Montana. My tribe is Blackfeet or Blackfoot, whatever you want to say.
And what brought you to Chiloquin? Did you say in your retirement it was your wife that eventually brought you to Chiloquin? It was love or was it?
No, I came to Chiloquin because I left. I was coming down to Arizona to rodeo for the winter, and me and another guy took off, and he left me in Wells, Nevada. I was stranded, so I kind of had to work my way across Nevada to make
He left you?
He left me in Wild Jack, and I was afoot.
A little falling out in the drive?
No, his car blew up, and He just took off and left me. So I turned him into the police because he had a lot of my gear in his trunk, and they never did catch him. But I was working my way back up. I was going to save my money and go to Spokane and buy me a truck and start over again. Well, I wound up in Klamath Falls and wound up into some buddies, and they was talking about rodeos here and there, and so I stayed, and I've been here ever since. I never left. I went back to Montana 3 or 4 times since I've been here, but that's how I got to Oregon.
And how did you and your wife meet?
I had a rodeo in Tie Valley. It was an Indian rodeo, and everybody goes to Tie Valley. They come from all over. Back in the old days, that was one of the most biggest Indian rodeos around. More people flock in there, tourists. It attracted a lot of tourists. And that's where we met. And that was in 66 or 67. I went to Bulldogging. I think it was in 67.
She was a spectator, watched you, and said, boy, that's a cute guy in the horse.
I guess. Yeah, she was there watching her and her sister. They all liked rodeos, and they'd go to them all the time, because there was only three big ones. That was Klamath Falls, Tie Valley, and White Swan. And Warm Springs got in there finally. They were bigger kind of Indian rodeos, but we went to Arizona, and there's where the rodeos are. When we went to Arizona, there was one Indian Rodeo Association. Nowadays there's 10 or 15 associations. That's how many. That Arizona is just nothing but rodeos for the Navajos. That's all. Navajo Nation, biggest reservation going. And covers 4 states, and there's just rodeos everywhere down there. So it was pretty good. We met a lot of people and a lot of friends and stuff like that, I wouldn't trade it for nothing. If I had to do it all over again, I'd do it the same way.
And it's how you met your wife.
Mm-hmm, that's how I met my wife.
Today people meet them on the internet.
Yeah. I guess they do, yeah.
Yeah, back in your day, you met them at rodeos.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah.
There's a funny story we have about the rodeo once where your wife came to get you and you weren't around.
Oh, yeah, she came to get me. We was at Tie Valley, and she come to get me, and I was waiting there to get paid. Me and some guys was riding my horse in the steer wrestling, and I had money coming from them. And we were sitting around there. We were drinking a few beers, bullshitting, waiting for them to make out the books and see who won what. In every event, and a lot of cowboys around there waiting, and rodeos all over with them. But somebody said, "Hey, Joker, seen Jackie, she's taken off." I said, "What?" "Yeah, she left." I said, "Ah." She came up to me before she left and said she was going to go. I told her, "Wait now, I'm getting paid. Can't you wait? I'm going." And I told her, "Well, go ahead then, go." She did. She left me there. I had a horse trailer and a horse, and there I was. Left me. And that's the loneliest place in the world after rodeos. Dust devils in the paper plates and the paper cups, and you got a horse trailer and a horse, don't know what to do, where to go, which way to. Luckily, I got out of it, though. I seen a friend, he was from Browning, too, and he was going back. He gave me a ride, he hooked me up, and he didn't even have a hitch for his pickup. He didn't have a hitch for his pickup, so we had to buy a hitch off of a guy and hooked up my trailer my horse, and I went back to Browning, and she came back to Klamath Falls. We was living in Klamath then. We got a place in Klamath Falls, and we lived there for 40-some years. Little acre. Had enough room for two horses. And we were there for, I think we bought that place in 19, bought it in 1970, I think. We lived there for 45 years. Don't seem like it, but yeah, we did. Then we moved up here because of our jobs and everything. And she's from Chiloquin. But we'd go back and forth to where I'm from, too, in the summertime, sometimes.
Well, thank you for sharing your stories. Do you have something you want to add that we didn't cover? That's a long commitment to one organization, you and your wife. And
yeah, it has been. I mean, I thought about that. That's the longest I've ever worked for one outfit, I mean. And I don't know. I mean, it was a good job. I mean, but my hours were kind of funny. I didn't get home till 7:30 every night, sun or rain or shine. I mean, because I had that late shift. Pat, the other driver, she had the morning shift because she lived in Chiloquin, but that was fine. I didn't want that morning shift because I had horses to feed and all that, you know. But yeah, it's a long time.
Still got the horses in your life?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yep. I just bought a young one from Texas. I just bought him. He's 7 years old, and I'm going to work with him, get him going so I can start roping on him.
You're going to be roping at your age?
Oh, yeah. Hell, yes. Yep.
Roping to your last breath.
Yep. Going to rope till I fall off, you betcha. You know what they say, the inside of a horse is the outside of a horse is the best part for the inside of a man, so. So, I mean, they keep you going. I mean, I don't know if you ever heard that song by Keith Whitley. Don't let the old man in. And that's what he talks about. You have to get up and do something. Just don't sit around and get old. Get up and move. Do something. That's what keeps me going. I've always had a horse. Always. I've never been without a horse I've always had a horse. Maybe a couple of years went by. I did when I first came down here, but I've always had one or two.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time today, and right on.
You're welcome, yeah. And I'm glad I met you.
John Galbraith today on Klamath Tribes Podcast.